make this better, and how does this feel to me? These are two questions my guest, Lisa Voa, asks herself. Then she asks us, how do you use your voice? How do you express yourself in the world? The point behind these questions is for us to explore how to live wholehearted, inspiring, and daring lives. I'm Becca Lewis, and in the Shift the Story podcast, Lisa walks us through some of her life decisions as she chose to live an inspiring life. Lisa's shift stories are both familiar and encouraging to all of us desiring to fully live our purpose. Lisa, I'm so excited that we're doing this podcast together because we have so many things in common. I love that you do a podcast. We were just laughing about that.
Yes.
And I love that it's called Ever Better You. Love that you take people into recognizing their talents then to a bigger purpose. And when I got to the part that said or larger purpose, when I got to that part, I said, wonder what she means by larger purpose. And how you got there. How did it, I know this is such a big, broad question, but how did you get to the idea that you would coach people in this particular way? Is it something you did for yourself, or has this always been part of who you are?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your podcast, which I love to listen to your podcast. So it's an honor to be on. That is a big question.
I just don't start with the little ones. Like, what's your name? No. How did this happen?
Let's just jump into it. That's cool. Okay. So, it really has been a lifelong journey for me. When I think back, I've made a lot of little shifts in my life, which have led me to this point, of course, which is true for everyone. I think it's more, it's really like I've become more aware of these shifts as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more mature, as I've gotten more perspective. So I have transitioned from many different jobs to, I've shifted from one job to another, and at a certain point, there was one major shift in my life that was a big aha moment. I was working for a telecom company, and my son, Connor, was very young. He was probably 2 years old. And my husband was a full-time daddy. So he gave up his job to stay home with Connor, be the stay-at-home parent, which was cool. It was a really cool arrangement. Like, he was a little bit of an aside, but he was the only daddy in the play group. And, he would go and he's the one that worked at the co-op, 2 days a week. And he was one of the only daddies doing that. And it was really cool. So
he was popular.
He was popular. And, I think my son is naturally athletic, but having Tim with him in his really early years, I think really built that up more. So, but I was working for this telecom company at the time that it was the internet boom, right? The dot-com boom. Mm-hmm. And I was helping to build their very first websites. So when I got there, you could not purchase a cell phone online. Believe it or not, there was a time when you couldn't do that.
I remember. Yes.
Yes. So my team, I had a pretty big team, and my team actually built that functionality. And we built the functionality where you could pay your bill online and some other things. And it was a really exciting time. And then the stock market tanked, and it just became this miserable place to be. And very backstabbing kind of a place. And I thought, over time, I just realized, why am I spending my life selling cell phones online, really, is what I'm doing. And, I really want to work for a more important purpose than that. Cell phones are very important to my life. Don't get me wrong. You're probably very important to your life. But I felt like there was something bigger that I should be doing in my life. So Tim and I actually started researching businesses, family-oriented businesses that we could own. And we saved up money. We just saved up money as much as we could so that we would have a little nest egg to invest in a business and have some runway so that when I ultimately quit my job, we could dig into that and live on that if we didn't have the revenue that we needed from the business. So a long story short, I eventually did quit my job. I got to a point, it was like, when is the right time? When is the right time? It's really hard to know that.
Right.
It's hard to know when when to really like make that change. But there were a couple nights when I came home and I was crying. I was in tears. And I'm not that kind of I'm normally not. I usually handle things really well. And I just got to the point where it was so awful. I came home and I was in tears. And I just said, I was like, this is it. We're doing it. We're doing it. So we found the right business. It was called, we rebranded it to be called Playwise Kids. And it was a children's play and learning facility. It was 24,000 square feet. And we had a real fire engine and a giant sandbox. And kids would do dress up. And we had birthday parties and field trips. So that was a major change.
Wow. Yes. Although you might have used a cell phone a lot in that business.
We did. So I went from this sort of very corporate, you know, .com kind of job to going to this giant play facility every day and, you know, and doing my own, like we had no staff, you know, we had staff that helped us do birthday parties and keep the place under control and, you know, cleaning and things like that. But, you know, if I needed a notebook, I had to go buy it. If I needed to clean, you know, if we needed someone to clean the bathroom, well, that was me or my husband. You know?
Yes.
So it was really different. So that was sort of like a big awakening for me and really purposely guiding my career, right? So we did that for about 6 years together. And then I entered into the nonprofit world and Tim ended up taking another job after we sold the business. And so I consciously said, all right, I you know, we needed more of a stable, steady income. And I consciously said, I need to have a job that's more mission-driven than what I had before. I'm going to go to the nonprofit world. And I ended up working for SOS Children's Villages, which is a fantastic organization. And I'll just do a little shout-out. SOS-USA.org is their website.
Excellent.
And I worked there for several years and then went to another nonprofit. And then I actually ended up, I now have a different day job, a different corporate job, marketing and communications, and it's 3 miles from my house, and it's just a great fit for me for right now. But through that whole journey, I always managed a lot of people. I always coached a lot of people, but I didn't call myself coach, right? I was manager,
yes,
or director or whatever,
yeah,
my title was, but really that's what I was doing. And so as I've been on this journey over the past couple of years with, I wrote an ebook called Ever Better, and then I went to Camp Good Life Project. I don't know if you know, do you follow Jonathan Fields at all, Becca?
Yes.
Okay. Jonathan Fields has a great podcast called Good Life Project, and then he created Camp Good Life Project, which is at the end of August, and I've gone 2 years in a row, and I'm going to go my third year coming up. And it was at that camp when I started talking to people who I found out were podcasters, and they told me how to do it. You know, it never would have occurred to me that I could have my own podcast. You know, I thought of it as something that's like very complex and out of my reach. It didn't even occur to me that I could have one.
Wow.
And I started talking to them and they were like, you can totally do this. Here's what you do. Right. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I won't say that, but it's doable and it's manageable if it's something that you want to do. I left off one turning point actually, Beckett, which is important. A little bit less than three years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Lucky.
Now that's a big turning point right there.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, sorry, I left that out. Okay. And I was super lucky because it was very early stage breast cancer. I live in an urban area in the DC area, and I am surrounded by amazing doctors, amazing medical facilities, and I have a great network here and a wonderful family. So if you can be diagnosed with breast cancer in a good way, I guess that was me. I mean, it sounds a little crazy, but so I chose to have bilateral mastectomy. I had several different options. I chose bilateral mastectomy, which means both of my breasts were removed. And I did that because my chance of recurrence would then be 1%.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have to take any pharmaceuticals, and I wouldn't have to do radiation or chemotherapy. So I went that route. And then I had plastic surgery to have so that I look, you know, have a normal looking body. So that was another turning point. You know, but people often say, oh, you must be doing the Ever Better podcast because you had breast cancer and that woke you up. And it's kind of like, no, it's a part of my journey for sure. But I think it started, you know, much further back than that.
Well, I think so, you've kind of proved that it started much further back than that, because that was along the way I had.
Oh,
so I hear all your other shifts that you've made all along. And each one of them has been, it sounds like each one of them has been, your focus has been, how can I make this better? Myself, other people, right. Ideas.
Right. Yeah. You're so wise, Becca. Oh. You're so wise.
I just told you what you said. No big deal. You said it.
it's so interesting to, you know, to speak to, because, you know, everything I say, you're gonna reveal it to me in a different way. You're gonna state it back to me, and like, I did say that. Okay. Sometimes we don't give ourselves credit for what we know.
That's why people need coaches, don't you think?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's really funny, because when I'm speaking to someone from a coaching perspective, I'll probably do to them what you just did with me, right? And they'll be like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a habit. You get into it. It's like you do it to everybody and you think, oh my gosh, I'm not coaching them. Be quiet.
So, right. Yeah. So that was sort of my long answer to your question. Did I answer the question?
You did. I love it. So Ever Better. I love that. And even the larger purpose, do you have a context? Do you think of something about when you say larger purpose, or where does that take you when you talk about larger purpose for people?
No, I think it's really different for every single person. It's just, you know, you talk to people and they think, well, something I say about my coaching is, if you live a full life, but you don't feel fulfilled, maybe a coaching is appropriate for you. And when I say a full life, it's like, oh, I have kids, or I have grandkids, and I have a job, or I have volunteer activities, and I go to church, and I'm very involved, and blah, blah, blah. But really, are you just doing those things on autopilot, or because you feel pressured to keep doing that volunteering? And, you know, have you really stepped back to think, how is that making you feel? You know, is it making you fulfilled, or are you just doing it out of obligation? And I think that every person needs to really think that through. And if they confront that they've just been doing it on autopilot and it's not making them feel great, then they need to think about, like, what would be their larger purpose, and start experimenting with different things that you haven't been doing in your life. And I think if you start to feel more fulfilled yourself, then you become a better person for those around you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. But that idea of feeling, it's become such a wonderful focus for so many people. Like, you can see, I know that a lot of people don't do this, but I think the world that you and I live in, so many people are stopping and saying the question, asking themselves the question, how do I feel about this? What's my purpose?
Right.
And I don't know if that is, I know that's not standard training. So it's such a wonderful thing to see people stopping in all walks of life and asking that question, because it makes everything better when we all do that.
Right. And I don't know what made me first do that, except I've always listened to a lot of, there were books on tape. There used to be books on tape. Now I listen to books on CD.
I remember books on tape. Now it's Audible. Yes.
Audible, yeah. I don't know. I still go to the library and get a lot of books on CD. I love libraries. So I've always listened to a lot of self-improvement kind of material.
Yes.
And read those kinds of books. So I'm sure I picked it up from there somewhere along the line. But yeah, I think everybody has to, you know, think about their own journey. But you know, you're right. Like, for you and me, that's just really common. It's a common discussion. But there are a lot of people who are not aware that that is a common discussion.
Well, I think that it's hard to make it a common discussion when you're in survival.
Yeah,
so, like, it. I'm going to ask myself how I feel when I'm hungry. You know, that. Mm-hmm. So. And I don't think getting out of survival, I don't think it's getting out of it is necessarily easy. It's just not it's not a far jump to get out of survival, because that's, I think the word survival really says it. It's like when you have enough to eat and you have a comfortable place to live, then you can, then there is space to think about how do I feel about things. So those of us who have enough to eat and have a roof over our heads and we're comfortable can take that time to feel and then do something for those who can, who don't have the time. And I think that's when you're talking about a larger purpose that each one of us somewhere have incorporated. What can I do for those who haven't made it to that next rung?
Right. And you know what's, I was just thinking about something too, which is related to this. Your body, you know, listening to your body and observing what's going on with your health is so important. When I was in that telecom job that I told you about, I used to get floaters. Do you know what floaters are? They're like little things that float in front of your eye.
Yes, yes.
Like, you're literally seeing like a little shape float in
front of your eye. Yes,
float by, yes. Yeah, and it's like, what was that? You know, when I first started seeing them, I was like, is everybody seeing that? What's going on now? And I went to an eye doctor and they were like, oh, that's floaters. Like, you know, people get them. And I said, could it be stress related? You know? And she was like, well, yeah, it could be stress related. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have floaters anymore. I do not have floaters anymore. But they were, I was seeing them continuously. Like,
yes.
It's sort of unnerving. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have these for the rest of my life. But I feel like that was really a sign. And also, I made a lot of visits to the chiropractor at that time. I was getting headaches. I couldn't get my, like, just couldn't get my spine aligned right. And all of that stuff is just much better than it was before.
Wow. And that's all stopping to say, is this the right thing for me to be doing? Mm-hmm. And moving to the, and you know, when you talked about the first time that you did this, and I think it gets easier as we go along, but that it's a very brave step to take when you're, when I definitely remember coming home from jobs and crying and saying, I can't do this anymore. And I know, so I know it feels like it's hard to do, but it's harder to stay in a job that makes you feel like that.
Right. But, you know, but there is that reality because, you know, you just, we talked about a couple minutes ago, you have to have your basic needs met.
You do. Yeah.
And as I said, my husband was stay-at-home dad and I was bringing home the paycheck. So it's not like I could just go, I quit, I'm done, you know? So over time, every day, I would take one action to move myself forward so that I could quit this job and do something else, something more meaningful. It didn't just happen like overnight. I said, I'm done and I'm out, right? I would make a phone call, read an article, write a little bit of my plan. I was super busy as everybody is, but I would carve out at least 10 minutes to do something that I knew would advance my next step. And I think that's really important.
It's very important and so powerful. It's that exactly it. It's those little things, just a little bit every day builds where you want to go. And when we think it's a big project and I'll never be able to face it, it does become insurmountable.
Right.
I can't say that word. Yeah. But that little bit at a time, it, after a while, you've actually reached a place where you can make a decision like that. So I'm sure that you help a ton of people make those decisions. So I want to make sure that people know where they can find you. Where's the best place?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. My website is everbetteryou.com. And you can reach me directly at lisa@everbetteryou.com. And I'll tell you, everbetteryou is everbetter and then the letter u.com. For my email address. And I, you know, I would love to hear from anyone. I would, you know, if you hear me on this podcast and you think I might be able to help you, or if you just want to chat, please feel free to reach out. That would be great.
Oh, I'm sure they will. And of course, as you know, as we all know, all podcasters know, your stuff is up on your show notes. So people will be able to find you if they were walking down the street and didn't have time to write that down. Although Ever Better You is pretty easy to remember. It's such a good name.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Let me also just say, yes, you said earlier, I have a podcast and the podcast is called Ever Better. And the podcast is called Ever Better. So if you just search in iTunes, it should come up.
Ever Better. I love it. All right, Lisa, here's your last question.
Okay.
What is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
I think it's important to think about how you're using your voice. Mm. And when I say using your voice, I don't just mean speaking, like we're using our voices on this podcast, but I also mean writing or taking action to reveal yourself and your strengths and your talents and build those and really believe in yourself. So, you know, for example, we need more people running for office that haven't thought about
Amen.
That before,
yes.
right? So yes. I think that's a really powerful way to use your voice, but are you going to get there overnight? I mean, you're not going to just go from like, you know, a corporate job to running for office. Maybe you will, but most people need to take little baby steps to get there. So think about how can you start using your voice in small ways that will build over time until you feel, you know, powerful and strong enough and accomplished enough to say, yes, I can run for office. Really, so think about what you can do to make a difference, to get yourself out there and really make a difference in our society.
I love that. Help more people step over that survival line.
Yes, yes.
That's wonderful, Lisa. Thank you so much for being here. We've been planning this, and I'm just delighted we finally had a chance to talk. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your podcast and everything you do.
Mutual Admiration Society.
Oh,
thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
With Lisa, we are always moving to ever better. Thank you, Lisa. Find more about Lisa in her show notes at theshift.com/podcasts. This is episode 95. Thank you for rating and reviewing and sharing this podcast. Most of all, thank you for listening. Find me on BeccaLewis.com if you have questions or want to share in my journey with writing books. Till next time, we continue to shift the story together.